This morning I would like to draw your attention to a passage of scripture that will lead us into our message. And if you will turn with me to the book of Luke, we're going to turn to chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And if you're able, and you would like to stand to honour the reading of God's word, then let us do so at this time. Luke chapter 15, we will read verses 3 to verse 6. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask your blessings upon the reading of your word. Father, we pray that your spirit might have free course among your people here this morning. We pray, Father, that your word might find a hiding place in our hearts, that it might lodge there. We pray, Father, that if there is one here without Christ that does not know you, Father, that today might be the day of salvation. That, Father, you might reveal yourself to that one through your word. We pray, Father, that you would hide the speaker behind the cross and that your people might see Christ and him crucified. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Subject of the message, or the title of the message, I am one of these preachers that I preach with subjects. There are different methods of preaching and different approaches to preaching, and some preach expositorily and verse by verse. I teach like that, but that's not how I preach. And as I teach the Africans and the New Guinea people, tribal people, that titles or subjects help us to identify and help us to associate what the message is, or what it should be about, at least, anyway. And so the message for this morning, for our text, is how a lost sheep got home. How did it get home? If it was lost in the first place, how did it get home to begin with? I'm often reminded of how folks will say how they found the Lord in sharing their testimony with one another or talking to other people. Oftentimes we hear people say, well, I found the Lord. And as this was being shared one day, there was a young lad that was in the midst of the congregation, and he said, I didn't know that the Lord was lost. And so you and I who have been found, we can all understand, we can all agree, and we shall all be able to confess that indeed it was not us who found the Lord found us. I know the Lord found me. I wasn't looking for the Lord when he found me. And there's another thought that comes to mind about someone trying to find something. There was a man some years ago, and he was in the field working, and someone came along in a vehicle and wanted directions how to get somewhere. And the person told them, and the one who was working in the fields gave him directions how to get where he was going. About 30 minutes later, he ended up right back where he started from, and right back at the same field, and looking right back at the same person who gave him the directions. And he said, well, I thought you gave me directions how to get where I wanted to go. And the fellow working in the field said, well, I first wanted to see if you could follow directions. And oftentimes that's the way it is with the Lord working in our lives, that you've probably heard it, you've probably heard people say it, or I've heard it where people talk about someone being under conviction. someone, they're just about there. They're just about saved. I know that any moment or any time, the Lord is going to save that person. Well, either they're saved or they're not saved. Either they are born or they're not born. The child that is not born, or hasn't been born yet, though the mother may be in labor and she may be near to give birth, but the child, if it's not born, it's simply not born. And that's the way it is with the Lord. And so salvation is not a result of our searching and finding it. Okay, folks, we don't search and find the salvation as though it were. It's not a result of our effort. Okay? But salvation is that sovereign and effectual work of God whereby He finds His own people and He saves His own people. It is a effort on His part. Redemption has always been God seeking His people. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 tells us that Christ came into the world to do what? To seek and to save those who are lost. So salvation, I got saved. Really? Was it you that got saved? How did you save yourself? Someone who is lost, they never find their way back home of themselves. It's always someone else. I'm sure you at one time or another in your life, you've been lost somewhere. I've never met a person yet, if they are of any age, that they've never at some time or another been stranded or been lost somewhere. I have. And the thing about it is that when you are lost, you don't realize you're lost until you know you're lost. And the only time that you change directions is when you realize you're lost. Otherwise, if you think you're not lost, you just continue, you just carry on where you're going in the same direction you're going further and further away from where you're supposed to go, and you don't know to turn around, you don't know to stop, you don't know to ask directions because you don't know you're lost. And you can drive and drive and drive and everything is okay until suddenly you realize, hold on, there's something wrong with this picture here. I think I'm lost. I need to pull off and get directions. I need to ask someone, where am I? Ever been there? Done that? We all know the feeling if it has occurred and happened to us. And the only time that there is a turnaround or a change in the life of a person when they are lost is when they have an awakening that they are indeed lost. And those who are living in sin and dead in sin, they have never been awakened by Christ. They've never had a renewing of a new mind. They continue right along in their life as they were and are. And they will never have a turnaround. They will never change. They will never change directions. They will never repent. They will never believe. They will never come to life until God finds them. And when God finds His sheep, then they come home. And that's what we're going to look at. We want to examine this parable with other scriptures. And the first question that comes in mind is, who is the shepherd? We're not going to spend a great deal of time here because it's quite simple and it's quite clear as to who the shepherd is. There's not much controversy here. I think we will all agree that the true and proper shepherd is the Lord Himself. That the Lord is the shepherd over His sheep. The pastor or the preacher or the missionary is the under-shepherd. But the true shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is He, it's Him. The prophecy is given in Isaiah chapter 40. If you'll turn there with me just very briefly. In Isaiah chapter 40, let us read verse 10 and verse 11. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and there and shall gently lead those that are with young. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true shepherd of his people, and he is about the business of shepherding his people, caring for his people. In the book of Psalms chapter 23, David describes the Lord Jesus as a shepherd of his people. It is him who is the great shepherd. In the book of John chapter 10 verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. There is also evidence of the deity of Jesus Christ. A human could never be the shepherd of even one of God's sheep. There's no way. We don't fit the criteria. We don't meet the qualifications to be the shepherd of God's sheep. It's only the Lord Jesus. The work is too important. The work is too difficult, isn't it? For one of us to be the shepherd of God's sheep. It can only be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that meets the criteria. He's the only one that qualifies. He is the only one that we can entrust our lives with. Jesus Christ is the only one who possesses all the attributes and all the power and all the abilities of the deity in order for him to be the shepherd of his sheep. Not no human can fit those requirements. And then the second question is, who are the sheep? There is much debate over this, and much fellowship has often broken us to this point. The sheep are not just the nation of Israel. Jesus said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and them also I must bring, John chapter 10, verse 16. And if there are other sheep, and there are, and if they are not of the fold, then they must be out somewhere. And if there's some other sheep out there somewhere, then we must confess and we must acknowledge that the nation of Israel or his people as the Jews are not the only sheep. There are other sheep. There are other sheep in Papua New Guinea. There are other sheep in Africa. There are other sheep in Greece and Italy and Europe and Russia and Romania. And all across the United States and South America and in every country, among every nation and tribe and kind, there are his sheep. Jesus said that not all people are his sheep either. John chapter 10 verse 26, Jesus said, ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. And so we know that there are some in the world who are not the sheep. That's a very, very hard statement to preach in religious circles. It's an even harder statement for the religious circle to grasp that there are people who are not his sheep. But there are. Jesus said so. There are people who have never been had their names written in the book of life. There are people that are classified in the class of goats, and goats are not sheep. Goats are goats. In fact, there in Africa, it's absolutely amazing as you watch the shepherds. The young lads are given charge of the flocks, and they would take the sheep and the goats and cattle oftentimes, and they're all mixed together. And they take them out into the fields to go grazing, feeding during the day. And the sheep will follow right along. And they will be out there. But once they get out there, sheep and goats, they don't feed very well together. The sheep and the goats, they have to be divided. Because the sheep are docile animals. They are very calm animals, and they're timid animals, and they're afraid, and they get hurt easily, and they get led astray very quickly, whilst the goats are very rambunctious, and they are very rough and tough animals, and very bullying, and you don't feed very well together when you've got a group of sheep, and you've got a group of goats, and you put them together. They don't feed well together. And so the shepherds know that, and they separate them. And I thought, what an amazing picture it is, how God will also separate his sheep from the goats. And that brings us to this point that here on the earth, that there are two types given in the Bible about a lot of different illustrations. There's the two houses. There's the house with the foundation and the house with no foundation. There is the good soil and there is the bad soil. There is the wheat and there is the tares. I don't know how many of you have got experience with tares, but the tares look just like wheat. And when they grow, if you don't have a clever eye, you think they're the wheat and you'll mistake it for the wheat. There is the house built upon a foundation and a house with no foundation. And there are the sheep and there are the goats. And there's many, many illustrations given throughout Scripture about the two groups. Matthew chapter 25 tells about that the Lord shall separate the sheep from the goats. And so not all sheep are not all people are the sheep. There are some who are the sheep, and there are some who are the goats. Some of mankind, not all, but some of mankind are the sheep. They have been predestinated to be the sheep. They have been elected to be the sheep. Their names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their names have been recorded in heaven. The sheep are not just those already saved. There is the usual idea that all are goats and then one becomes a sheep by being saved. This is not true. You don't take a goat and turn it into a sheep. We were not lost goats and then became found sheep. That's not how it is. When we were lost in our sins, we were still sheep, but we were simply lost sheep. And when God found us, when the Lord found us, He found us as a lost sheep. And He simply found a lost sheep and brought that one home. You see? And so, kind begets kind. You don't take two goats and get a sheep. You don't take two chickens and get a turkey. You don't take two ducks and get a guinea fowl. You don't take sweet potato and plant it and get pumpkin. It's not the way it works. That's not the genetics. God has created the world, and God, when God created the world in the book of Genesis, the first few chapters, God said that He saw everything that He created, and it was good. And God gave a command and a promise to the things that He created. And God said, multiply upon the earth and let every kind bring forth what? Its own kind. Its own kind. I'll give you an illustration. Animals of themselves will always breed their own breed. But somewhere along the way, man has not been satisfied with that. So man took a horse, took a donkey, bred them together to get a mule. And I don't know how many folks have farming backgrounds or how much you know about that sort of thing, but a mule cannot progenerate. It stops with it. Because man went in and messed with God's system and produced something that is a hybrid. Whether it's seeds for farming, planting in the fields, or whether it's animals, any time the program is changed, we have to rewrite a whole new book of instructions for our own problems that we create. If we simply follow the book, read the instructions, follow the book, all of the answers to all of the problems of life, in life, are right here. Every problem we have is right here. And so God, when God elected His people, He wrote your name and my name and your name, wrote them in the book of life. And they were recorded with God's finger, not mine, not the pastor's, not the president, not government's. God's finger wrote our names of the elect in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they are written there. And there is none that can erase that book. None can go there to take it out. We read in the book of Daniel, we read in the book of Revelation how that in the spirit, Daniel seen and John seen in the spirit in their visions, that there was no man found worthy to open the books. No man found worthy. Except one. Christ Jesus. And he called for the books. And they were opened. What a blessed time it's going to be. I can even hear the hallelujahs being sung and praised in heaven. When the books are opened and the names are called out of the life's book there in heaven. It is God's registrar. It is his book. It's in his library. He is the owner. He is the one who wrote the names. And it is not written with a pencil, with an eraser. It's not written with ink that fades. It's written with the eternal hand of God himself. And those names of those whom he elected can never perish, can never be lost, can never be damned, can never go out into eternity. Those who have been elected, they will be found because they are his sheep. And a shepherd does not surrender until he has found all of his sheep. He doesn't give up. He doesn't go home. He doesn't quit. He doesn't resign. He doesn't go to sleep. He doesn't give the job to another. He is the one that's going to search and seek until he has found all his sheep. I'm sure that sometime or another in your life you've lost something. Maybe your keys, maybe your wallet, maybe some money, maybe something of value in your house. Everything else stops. I mean, you might have an appointment at the doctor. You might have an appointment to go take your children to school and you can't find your house keys. Do you mean to tell me that you're going to go trotting off and leave your house unlocked while you go take your children to school? Well, they're going to have to be late. I've got to find the keys. And you search and you're seeking. Yes, Mom, what are you looking for? Dad, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my keys. Why would you be doing that? Well, because they lost. Once you find the keys or whatever it is you're looking for, maybe your wallet or credit card or whatever it is, once you find it, the seeking stops. It ceases immediately. And you rejoice, whether verbally, emotionally, inwardly or outwardly. And different people show emotions differently. But there is some sort of rejoicing that you have found what it is that you were seeking. And the seeking ceases immediately once you found what you were seeking. And when all of God's people have been found, what does Matthew say in chapter 25? And then what? Then the end shall come. The reason, folks, the end is not here. Some of the sheep have not been found yet. There are some pockets, somewhere, there are some villages, there are some cities, or some towns, or some neighborhoods, or there are some corners and some houses somewhere in the world where some of God's sheep have not yet been found. And that's the reason, folks, the end is not here. That's the reason that Jesus has not yet come today. That's the reason that the world has not ended. That's the reason that we are still here, is because some of the sheep have not yet been found. And so, the sheep, once they have been found, all of the sheep have been found, and they have been put into the fold, into God's home, as though it were, then the seeking will cease. And not until then. All sheep are sheep, whether they are lost sheep or found sheep, but they are still sheep. They have always been sheep, and they always will be sheep. There is no changing in the fact of it being a sheep. Whether it's out there in the jungles of New Guinea, or in the deserts of Africa, or in the cities of America, if there is a sheep somewhere that's lost, it's still a sheep. No matter how lost it is, it's still a sheep. And when the sheep has been found, there's no transition from that sheep. It's just simply, it goes from being a lost sheep to a found sheep. That's the only transition. It did not change from being a sheep. It has, even in eternity past, before the person was ever born, that person was a sheep. In the mind of God, in God's plan, in his election, predestination, the sheep have always been there. And in God's mind, it's as though it has already been carried out. When God, there in Acts chapter 13, verse 48, as many as were what? Ordained. Now the meaning of ordained, it means to set apart. A preacher has been ordained to the ministry. Well, what's the meaning of that? That preacher has been set apart specially. I'm setting this thing specially for this. You got things in your life that are special? I'm keeping this for a special reason. Ever heard that? Maybe you do it yourself. I got a certain tool, or I got a certain toy, or I got a certain thing, or a vehicle, whatever. And you don't use it every day. You just set it aside. What are you setting it aside for? Well, for a special reason. Oh, you're setting it aside. It's not something you use every day. You just set it aside, right? Yeah, I've got it set aside for a special reason, for a special job. God set aside. He ordained. He set aside a special people. And they were ordained that they what? That they might believe. Being elected and being predestinated to be a sheep does not mean that the sheep have been found. That's not the meaning there. They will be found. But because they have been ordained to eternal life is not one and the same as them not having to believe. They still have to believe. You can have sheep, and one of them gets out of the pen or the fold, and they get lost, and they're in the backside of the desert, or they're out there in the wilderness, or they're in the jungle, wherever they might be. Because they are outside and lost, does not mean they've been found yet. They have to be found, yes. The time that sheep are found is the time when someone goes to find them. Lost sheep don't find themselves. Well, I gave my life to the Lord. Really? Well, I found the Lord. Well, I surrendered my life and I gave it all to the Lord. Really? Romans chapter 9 says it's not even of him that willeth or runneth. We can't even run to the Lord. We can't even come to the Lord. A dead man cannot come to the Lord of his own. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, we are dead in sins and trespasses. A dead man cannot do anything of his own. He is dead in sins. He is dead spiritually. He cannot make no decisions on his own. He cannot will himself. His will is dead. His being, spiritual being, is dead. And until the Holy Spirit quickens, makes alive. You know, there's a good example of understanding this. Great examples on the mission field. There in Africa, we go through about 9 months of just drought. No rain at all. Lord just switches off the tap. No water, no rain. Soil bakes over in 100 degree temperatures. Day after day after day, week, months and months go by. You can't even hardly dig the ground with a pick, it's so hard. Then about the second week of November, the first rains occur. God sends the first rains. And that scripture in Hosea really never meant a lot to me before I lived in Africa, but it means a lot now. The first rains and the latter rains. And the first rains, God sends the first rains to wash away, as though it were, all the dust and prepare the soil for the saturation of the latter rains. Because you see, when the heavy rains come and the soil is not saturated or prepared, you don't have that dust bow washed away. It's just like pouring water on a duck's back. It doesn't sink in. It doesn't go in. It just washes right off the soil. It's too hard. And so the Lord sends the early rains. And they begin to pepper the soil, wash off the dust. And they begin to prepare the soil for the latter rains. And when the latter rains come, they are heavy rains. And the earth is prepared now to absorb that. And it soaks up the water and it brings forth life. So you take the seed and you plant it prior to the rains. And anyone who's ever lived in Africa, we all know that if you don't get the soil in the ground before the rains, you're going to be late, and the heavy rains are going to wash away the seed, and you've lost everything. And so you get the seed in the ground prior to the early rains, and the heat begins to heat up that seed, but without the soil is there, the seed is there, but it will never germinate on its own. And it will die in the heat of the soil unless the Lord sends the early rains. And you've lost again. And so the only way for that seed to germinate is the Lord has to send the rain. And when the early rains come, there's just enough water to give that seed water and life, and it begins to germinate. It has life. By the time the heavy rains come, it has already grown its roots, and it is able to secure itself to the soil. It has a foundation. And the Lord can send the heavy rains, and it can grow into life and become a mature plant. And the Lord doesn't pound us with the heavy doctrine, because we'd be washed away. We have to have a foundation, and the only way to get that foundation is we have to have the seed planted within us, and then the Lord has to send the early rains, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to know what it is that we are securing our foundation to. What do you have your roots attached to? To the rock? Have you been attached? Do you have a foundation? Are you growing on the rock? Are you attached? And are you growing? And is this the base of your foundation, of your faith? And is this where you are? Because if your rock is not the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be washed away. You can study the creeds, you can study the Bible, you can have your own prayers, you can come to church, you can put your offerings, you can be baptized, you can do all of this. All of this can be performed for you. But if you are not settled on the rock of Jesus Christ, you have nothing. One day we'll all be piled up at the end of the row, and it will be burned. All of your works, all of the things that you did in life. I did this, Lord. I went to church. I put these offerings. I talked to these people. I read the Bible as you told me. I had me prayers. I did all of this. Yes, but were you founded on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Did you believe in my Son? Will be the question that will be asked. And so the sheep have to beget sheep. That's the only way you'll get sheep. And where there is a sheep that is lost, it must be found. The Bible always pictures mankind as being divided between goats and sheep, and none are ever passing from one class to another. Sheep which are lost sheep are simply found sheep at the end of the day. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a goat herder. He's a sheep herder. Christ looks after the sheep. He doesn't look after the goats. He's not busy herding the goats. The Bible paints a very clear picture of Christ. He came seeking for his sheep. Not Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 does not say, the language is not, and the reason a lot of people don't understand the Bible, they simply don't understand the language of the Bible. It does not say that Christ came to seek and to save his goats, his sheep, his people. The Bible makes it very clear that the elect of God who are not yet saved, that they are still sheep, they are His people, they are the children of God. There are those who are referred to as the Lord's sheep who have not yet heard His voice, but they will be brought into the fold of His salvation. They will hear His voice. Prior to them hearing His voice, they are still referred to as sheep, aren't they? They didn't hear the voice. They were lost. But they are still referred to as his sheep. So they never were goats. They're not in the class of goats. They're not mixed with the goats. One class of goats doesn't go over to a class of sheep. The classes are not, they don't intermingle. They are of their own. The sheep in this parable, it was a sheep before being found, and it was exactly that after it was found. Because it was a sheep that the shepherd was searching for. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 18. Book of Acts chapter 18, and we will look at verse 10. Acts chapter 18 and verse 10. Paul's ministry here to the Gentiles. Let me back up to verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Verse 10. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And so the Lord calls his sheep his people. Those words are interchanged. God never speaks of those who are not his. The Lord never calls them his people. And the goats he never refers to as his people. He only refers to the sheep as being his people. And they will hear his voice. They were God's elect before they were saved. Here were people, here were God's people in this city. And Paul continued a year and 6 months with these people. Why? Because the Lord told Paul, you don't know this, Paul, but I've got much people in this city. You didn't know it before, but I have. And I'm sending you to that city because I have much people in that city who are my sheep. They are lost sheep. They are lost people, but they are my people, my sheep. And I'm sending you there to find them. Now, unless you get confused, the great shepherd is Jesus Christ. And the Lord employs human instruments in this life to preach the gospel that has been ordained by God to his people. What did Paul say about the preaching of the gospel? He said that it was, he said, by the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel. I don't know why God's chosen me to go to Africa or go to New Guinea. I mean, how, humanly speaking, how foolish is it for a man to leave his home and his family and his kindred and his relatives and leave all the conveniences and the development of the world that is a part of his life, to leave that and go to some godforsaken island to go preach to a bunch of belligerent people? I mean, how foolish is that? How foolish is it to go to a country where you get stoned and left for dead, where your life is threatened as you live there, that no one wants you there, no one likes that you're there, no one's doing anything to entertain or to accommodate your life. And it seems like every time you turn around, something bad is happening to you in your life. How foolish is it to suffer through those things? Humanly speaking, how foolish is it simply to take the gospel and go preach it to people when you don't know who's going to be saved? You don't know if there are anyone's going to be saved. I mean, humanly speaking, how foolish is it? That's what Paul said. By the foolishness of preaching, God has determined, he has ordained that the preaching of the gospel, he has ordained that one man would stand before a people and he would take the gospel, his gospel, and preach to the people. It's not up to me to save people. I'm just a messenger. Now, you can like me or not like me, that's irrelevant. But you'll hear the message before it's over unless you get up and walk out. And that's why I believe that God chose the power of the gospel to everyone that believeth, they shall be saved. People say, well, I can stay home and turn on a radio. Yeah, you can. You don't like what the preacher's saying, you just switch it off. Shut him up. People say, yeah, well, I don't have a church to go to. I just watch a pastor, a preacher preach on TV. Yeah, it's all right until you get your belly full of them. You'll switch it off. Well, shut him up. Don't like what that preacher says. There's nothing as powerful God has ordained as one man standing before the people and preaching to those people about Christ. There's nothing. Nothing in this life. Nothing in this world that is more powerful than that, because you have not only the message, you have the conviction and you have the emotions. And unless you get up and walk out and walk away, you cannot switch me off. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed. I have no shame in preaching the gospel. I feel no shame. You want to know why? I don't feel any shame because I know the power of the gospel. I've seen people's lives being changed. I've seen people's lives convicted of sin. People's lives that have been renewed by the power of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'll preach it to the Jew and to the Gentile, to the Greek. No matter whether it's in the jungles of New Guinea preaching to natives that want to take your head off, or whether it's in Africa in the deserts where everything there wants to eat you apart from man. It doesn't matter whether you're in modern America, 22nd century America, preaching to a developed society as though it were, and they're still lost. And the gospel is the same, and the power is the same, and the reaching is the same, and the convicting is the same, and the new birth is the same. Every time, it's the same. And God will find his sheep, and God will not surrender until he has brought his sheep into the fold. John chapter 11 verse 52. And not for that nation only, but that also he shall gather together in one, the children of God that were scattered abroad. The elect are referred to as also the children of God, isn't it? Even before they were gathered by the drawing work of the Holy Spirit. Even before they were born again. Even before they were found. So they are known as the sheep. They are known as his people. And they are known as his children. These terms are used throughout Scripture to illustrate that. You see, God the Father elected a people that were scattered abroad through time, through the earth. Christ died for the sins of those who were chosen. The Holy Spirit gathers them together for the purpose and for the purchased salvation. But they are called the children of God prior to their gathering together. These are terms, and this is language used in the Bible to teach us that God's people, before they are ever found, before they have ever been born again, before they were ever, even their parents were born or created, we, God's people, have always been referred to as his people, his sheep, and his children. That terminology doesn't change. And God has always used that language with his people. We'll go to one other scripture in Galatians chapter 4 verse 6. And it says, and because you are sons. Now there's another term. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. See, God's elect are always referred to as his sons, even before the work of the Holy Spirit, which they have brought in the experience of salvation. So before you were saved, before your parents were born, before the world was created, you were a sheep. Hadn't even been born yet. Your parents hadn't even delivered you yet. Hadn't even been born yet. Yeah, you were one of God's sheep. If you are indeed here today, you are saved. Understand this, the message and the language up to this point is to those who are saved. And if you've been saved by God's grace, you were a sheep in the mind of God throughout eternity before, eternity past. And you'll still be a sheep in eternity before us. And you were God's people. One of God's people. You were one of God's children. You were one of God's sons. This language is what the Bible says about God's children, about the sheep. You see, in the mind of God, which was determined, which has been determined already, from eternity past to the present, to eternity future. All of the plan of God is as though it has already been carried out. God is not constrained to time as you and I. And God doesn't live in time as though it were like you and I do. There is no age with God. He's not so many thousands of years old and then the end. God is God, and God has created all these things, and he created the world and created all these things that are here, and he elected his people before these things were created, and in the process of time, each one of us was born on the date you were born. Not all children are born at the same date, are they? Not every child is born at the same day. Well, as many people that are here, I'm sure we've got that many different birthdays. We've all got our own particular time when we were born as a person. The very year, and the very month, and the week, and the day, and the hour and the minute and the split second you were born, all that was predetermined. You could not have been born any time before or any time after. You were born exactly when God wanted you to be born. And so it is in the spiritual world. When the Lord calls one of his sheep home, they hear his voice and they come home. When the Lord finds one of those lost sheep, he goes there, puts the sheep on his shoulder and carries them home. They don't come home until the date that God has given them to come home. They're not born again until God has given the date for them to be born again. And it might be today if you're here without Christ. You see, the sheep. The sheep, God's people. And in the parable that we read, the 100 sheep represents all of God's elect. The 99 are there and there's one out lost, and that's representative of those sheep who have not been found. And that's why we go to New Guinea, and that's why we go to these places and jungles, and why we walk for days and it takes us a lot of time to get there, and why we go through the things that we go through to get there, and there in Africa or New Guinea or here in America or wherever. The mission field is not determined by borders. You don't go to Malawi, Africa, or Mozambique, and that's the mission field, and it stops because you cross a border and go into some other country. The mission field is not determined by the borders of America or the South Pacific, or whether we're in New Guinea, or in Africa, or Europe, or Australia, or wherever. The whole world is the mission field, and God's people are everywhere. And that's why there's a need for the gospel to be preached everywhere, that we might find his people. See, God's people, they are going to be found and they are going to be saved, because Christ, the great shepherd, he will not surrender until he finds these people. He loves them. He has committed himself to finding them. He died for them. He gave his life for the sheep. So why would he give up now? Oh, well, yeah, there's 99 in the fold. I mean, yeah, I've got enough now. Let's go home. Well, it's not going to be the way it is. God will not surrender, and Christ will not give up, surrender his ministry until all his sheep have been brought in the fold. The election is not some secret in the Bible. It's shown from the beginning to the end. It shines clear as the stars of heaven. It is this one doctrine which is hated in the world all over. It's probably outside of baptism, the one doctrine that so many religious wars have been fought over. People are still fighting it today. Election. He chose us before we were ever born. We had nothing to do with it. We had nothing to do with it at all. In spite of our sin and our rebellion, he still saved us according to his purpose. Not our purpose. It's not my purpose why he called me. Oh yes, Lord, you saved me. I'll serve you. It's not why God saved me. God saved me for his purpose. And God gave me the willingness and the desire to serve him. That didn't even come from me. You see? Those 99 sheep represent those elect who have already been found. The Lord did not start his shepherd work yesterday, did he? Many of his sheep have already been found. Adam was one of those sheep. He was found in the Garden of Eden. The Lord found him naked, and the Lord clothed him. All of God's sheep are naked when they're lost, are they not? Yes, indeed they are. We don't have the spiritual clothes that we need to be clothed with. Adam didn't have it either. And God found him in the Garden of Eden. Found him naked. And it was the Lord who preached the message of salvation to Adam. I often face this on the field, and the mission field, and the Africans say, well, how was Adam saved? He was saved just like you. No more, no less. There's no other plan of salvation except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but who went to go preach to Adam? God. What message did he preach? The gospel message. In what way? A literal way he preached it. There were no blood sacrifices before that time. There was no bloodshed before that time. There was Adam and Eden in the Garden of Eden. They were created in holy perfectness, and they were commanded to keep the garden. They fell into sin. God found them naked, and God took a lamb, and I believe it was a lamb. God took a lamb, and he killed the lamb. It took the life of another to substitute for the one that was a sinner. And the lamb God took, and there was blood. And God took the skins of that lamb and made clothes for Adam and Eve and clothed them, preaching to them, your works don't get it. Your fig leaves, your clothing, what you've tried to cover yourself with baptism and church membership and works, it's not going to get it. You can't enter kingdom of heaven with your works. You're naked. You're unclothed. You're unfit. You are improper in God's presence without being clothed properly with His clothes. And God preached the message to Adam, and God found one of His sheep there. Adam was one of the sheep. And God found him. The Lord provided this in His day. Abraham was one of those sheep. He was an idolater in Ur the Chaldees. He had no knowledge of God. He had no desire of God. He didn't want anything to do with God. And God found him. Abraham didn't find God. God found him. And God appointed a time when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto him. And He effectually called Abraham to Himself. And there was another sheep found. Jacob was one of those sheep, wasn't he? He was fleeing from his brother's anger, not looking for God, not knowing that God was anywhere. And Jacob lay down in a wilderness place with a stone for his pillow in the night. And the Lord was in that place, he says. Jacob awoke out of his sleep and he says, the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. Another sheep God had found. And as we go through the Bible, we see so many of God's sheep that He has found. We see Matthew, who sat at the gate of customs. He was a customs officer. And I don't know how many of you folks have to deal with customs officers. I have to deal with them all the time in Africa. You go from one country to the next. I mean, I loved it driving down. We went from Alabama, changed over into Florida. No immigration, no customs officers, no border control. It was great. Over there in Africa, it's not so. I mean, you go from one country to the next. You go from Malawi to Mozambique, bordering countries. You're exiting a country, and you're entering a new country, and you got customs, and you got immigration, and you got Interpol, and you got the police. And they're all corrupt. And they're all looking for something. And you can spend a short time, or you can spend a long time. And Matthew was a customs officer, and I've never met yet around the world that a customs officer is straight. And here was Matthew, one of those corrupt customs officers. And there he was, living the wealthy, sinful life that he lived. And who would have thought that Matthew was one of God's sheep? Who would have thought that this corrupt customs officer was one of God's sheep? I don't know. There in Africa, I talked to many of the customs and immigrants. I don't know who the sheep are. One of them might be the sheep. I've met many police officers, Interpol officers, been inspected and been detained and all sorts of things happen and seized upon the moment to preach the gospel to the officer because he might be one of the sheep. Matthew was. I find this it's an absolute... I love this story. Matthew, this corrupt customs officer, was one of the sheep and God found another one of the sheep. Jesus said to Matthew, come down. I have a message I preach on the mission field about Matthew. From a tree to the feet. Matthew went from a tree to the feet of Jesus. He was found by Christ. Matthew wasn't looking for Christ. Christ was looking for him. And Christ planned and ordained and it was eternally decreed that on that day that Christ would go to the market. And he would meet a man called Matthew. He didn't go there to meet anyone else. He didn't go there to fellowship. He didn't go there to talk about stories. He didn't go to meet Nicodemus and talk about his miracles. He didn't go there to a marriage. He didn't go there to be entertained by the people. Christ went there that day, that specific day, which was ordained by God, his Father, in the past. And that day was where the shepherd would meet the sheep. That day was ordained where a lost sheep would be found by a seeking shepherd. And it came to be. So Matthew was another sheep that was saved. And then in Samaria, we see there lived a very wicked woman. And she had five husbands and she was now living with another man. And Who would have thought that this lady here, that she would have been one of the sheep? So as Christ started out on a journey that day, the Samaritan woman started out on a journey that day, not knowing who she would meet. And God had ordained the roots of these two people. God ordained the root of the shepherd, and God ordained the root of the sheep. And somewhere along the journey, they are going to meet. They're not going to bypass. They're not going to be put off. He's not going to turn around and go home. There's not going to be no accident that's going to detain it. It's going to happen precisely at the time that God has ordained. And who would have thought that this lady, that somewhere along the way on her journey to go draw water, that she would have met a shepherd. That she would have met Christ. But listen, it says he must needs go through Samaria. So Christ took a journey that day. One was a shepherd and one was a lost sheep, and her steps were ordered and directed by God's sovereign grace. Though she knew it not, on the other side of that journey was the divine shepherd, searching for and finding another one of his sheep. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never been born from above, if your spirit is dead, perhaps today is the day of your salvation. Perhaps today is the day that the shepherd will find another sheep. And so how does a lost sheep get home? The lost sheep gets home by the shepherd going on a journey and seeking the lost sheep. And he is not deterred, and he doesn't surrender, and he doesn't give up until he finds the sheep. And when he has found the sheep, he lays it on his shoulder and he carries it home. And so the lost sheep never got home on its own. It was carried home. The lost sheep never found the shepherd. The shepherd found the sheep. The lost sheep was never looking, had no interest in the shepherd, but the shepherd had an interest and was looking for the lost sheep. The lost sheep was blind, and the lost sheep was dead, and the lost sheep was stranded. But the shepherd had vision. The shepherd had a heart. The shepherd had life to give to a lost sheep. And that's how a lost sheep got home. May the Lord bless you with this message.